Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Pelissero is with us from NFL Network, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, NFL.com. Tom, how you doing? Do you think that Baker Mayfield is the guy that can turn the Cleveland Browns around?
Well, they're certainly examining that question, examining all those top quarterbacks over these next couple of months. It's always funny because I think that people rightly point out that game tape should supersede a lot of the other evaluations that go into the process. But with quarterbacks, there's so much more that goes into it, all the other pieces you're putting into place. You know, the area scouts who have been writing reports on these guys for years, in a lot of cases, haven't even shaken their hands. Nobody's gotten a chance to put them on the board, get to know their personality, get to know whether or not you can be the face of the franchise. That's the process that really ramps up here, beginning in Indianapolis at the scouting combine this week, continues at pro days, private visits, workouts. I'm sure that when it comes right down to it, you might even have John Dorsey flying into some of these places to just drive around somebody's hometown for a day and just try to get a feel for where Baker Mayfield or any of the other guys are coming from.
Tom, based on the conversations that you've had with people around the NFL, what is the question that they have about Baker?
The biggest thing with Mayfield is just whether or not you're comfortable with him being the guy for your franchise. And when scouts were going through Oklahoma this past fall, they could not find anybody who had a bad word to say about Baker Mayfield. Mm. He is ultra competitive. He is an A-plus leader in the program, one of the best leaders that people who have been around that program a long time have ever seen come through. But he is still a unique personality. He certainly has a chip on his shoulder that comes through both on and off the field. I spoke to people who were down at the Senior Bowl, and of course he arrived late there. His mother was going through some things, had an abbreviated stay. There were questions whether or not he was going to play in the game. And people said that he was surly the whole week. He only met with a few teams, just kind of had a little bit of an attitude down there. That's part of him, though. You know, it's not something you just kind of turn on and off. He's a different guy. Teammates love him. People in the program love him. Coaches love him. But you got to look at that and decide whether or not you think that you want that to be the outward-facing guy who's going to be speaking to the media twice a week. Is he going to be the one that you're going to be able to build an entire program around? And the other thing with Mayfield is just the athletic ability. You know, we can make fun of the testing numbers and point back to Tom Brady running the worst 40-yard dash of all time. But when you're barely 6 feet tall, and according to a couple scouts I spoke to, if you run, in their estimate, a 4.85 40 at that size, that's going to raise a few questions about whether or not the escapability and all the things that you see on tape with Baker Mayfield are going to be able to work as well when you're doing it against bigger, stronger, faster men. He may be 6 feet tall, but he's not Russell Wilson as an athlete.
Tom, speaking of escapability, some people are concerned about that when it comes to Josh Rosen as well. But really, the bigger questions about Rosen, who seems to be very smart and seems to be very talented. You know, you have the injuries, which is certainly an issue, but the bigger thing being discussed is the off the field with him, kind of, you know, different types of things than Baker Mayfield, but the same off the field questions in terms of, does he have passion for the game? Is he coachable? Is he a spoiled brat? We've heard all these things. And I don't know if they're all coming from the same place or whatever. What can you tell us about that? And has he been able to change any minds yet at the combine?
Well, that's absolutely the question. I have not gotten a chance to speak to everybody that he's spoken to down there, but there were a lot of people who were wondering how exactly he was going to come across in those interviews, because he is, he's super smart. He is, according to the scouts I've spoken to, probably the most talented passer in the draft. You mentioned the mobility. That's not a strength for him. He is a pocket passer, but his movement within the pocket is really good. He spins it as well as anybody. He's got plenty of arm to be able to make all the throws. And there were signs of maturity or whatever you want to call it over the past couple of years. You go back to Rosen's freshman year, he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. There are certainly stories you hear coming out about when Rosen was around less intelligent quarterbacks, less intelligent receivers. He could make those guys feel dumb. He had an attitude at times, according to one scout I spoke to, that you know, he was not, or the coaches were not really doing anything for Josh Rosen. He was doing something for them. But he also, you know, he became a better leader as time went on. The party antics and everything sort of abated a little bit off the field. He did, you know, certainly in terms of work ethic and those things, you saw, you know, development in that regard as well. And he certainly took strides forward. Guys played for him, and some of his teammates liked the fact that he's outspoken on issues like the NCAA not paying athletes and things like that. You still got a lot to unpack, though, when you're talking about a really strong personality. He is going to pop off. He's already shown that. You know, he's probably going to turn off some people in the process, but as one scout, an area scout who'd spent a lot of time on Rosen said, you know, what are the real red flags here? Okay, he had a hot tub on campus, you know, on social media when he was a freshman, and, you know, he spoke out about the NCAA exploiting athletes, but he's like a 3.5 econ major. He wants to be this mogul type of guy. You know, maybe he's just kind of this new wave kid who really does get it. There's some scouts and GMs and coaches who are going to say, I don't want a guy who thinks he knows it all. But, you know, maybe Rosen does have some things figured out. Maybe he's a little bit smarter than everybody else. He's a fascinating evaluation, maybe the most polarizing prospect in this class.
Do you believe that there is a majority favorite among quarterbacks at this point?
I talked last week, and I wrote a story on this for NFL.com. I talked to 15 veteran evaluators from 12 teams. So it's certainly not, you know, everybody in the league, but I got a good cross-section. And if you were asking me just going into these final 2 months, which, again, are very important,
yep,
I would say that the favorite is Sam Darnold, just because the makeup. He is, at minimum, the safest, because the makeup that you hear on him, the leadership, the way people felt about him in the program, work ethic, character. He's, you know, cool, under pressure, plays his best in the big moments, doesn't ever seem rattled by stuff. Physically, he's got a lot of ability. He's got plenty of arm. You know, some of the knocks on him, the mechanics are funky. You know, he's got that elongated delivery. He drops the ball down, but he gets it out pretty quick. You know, with Darnold, he's a bit of a flatline personality, which, you know, not that that's going to rub some people the wrong way, but there are people who just want to know that you're not milquetoast, that you can kind of, you know, command respect. You're not going to be the baby-faced 20-year-old kid who just gets stomped all over by veteran teammates when you step into a potentially bad situation. His hand size checked out. He was Mr. Hand Size at 2018, but he came in at 9 3/8, so we could cross that off the list. He's a guy who teams really want to get on the board and just see how much football does he know. Because for all those good moments he had, you know, big games, big moments in games, he also made a lot of baffling decisions. You know, just you look at the turnover numbers, you look at all the fumbles, the interceptions that he had during his time at USC. He makes some throws on tape that people really just think, okay, this guy was a linebacker in high school. He was a late convert to quarterback. He's 20 years old. Like, how much football does he really know? You know, how long is it going to take him to be mentally up to the task? Not that he can't do it, not that he can't learn, but in that type of an offense, you know, how much has he really actually had to be able to get through his head in terms of understanding defenses and everything else? You know, all that being said, I still think that, again, if you're looking at the safest one, the most well-rounded one, the one with the best intangibles, so to speak, Sam Darnold stacks up well in that regard, and we'll see whether or not anybody can overtake him over the next couple of months.
Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network is with us. Tom, the other two quarterbacks that are interesting are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. We were talking about this the last segment. Chris and I both like Lamar Jackson more than Josh Allen, although we, I think, are in the minority opinion on this. It seems that Josh Allen's, and I know you can't just go by the stats, we get it, but it seems like Josh Allen's flaws statistically, people that like him want to ignore it, and yet Lamar Jackson, it always gets brought up, his completion percentage. People seem to hold that against him, but not against Darnold, when the other numbers are amazing for Lamar Jackson. Your thoughts on those two guys and those criticisms?
Well, with Josh Allen, you're right in that you talk to different people and you get different levels of concern about the completion percentage at Wyoming, which is what everybody talks about. The people who really like Allen say, watch the tape. Nobody's ever open. And on the off chance they do get open, they drop the ball when it hits them in the hands. You know, he's playing with lesser receivers. But, you know, on the flip side of that, some people say, well, Carson Wentz wasn't exactly brimming with talent around him.
That's right.
He was pretty good when he was playing at North Dakota State. And how many passers have there ever been that have been 56% in college and gone on to have a great deal of success in the NFL. You know, Allen is a guy who, because he's, you know, he's 6'5", I've heard that he might run the 40 in like the mid 4.6s at his size, which is just crazy. He's a really good athlete, and he's got, as one AFC scout told me, the biggest arm I've ever scouted. You know, physically, he's only going to help himself through this process. I mean, he's going to wow people, I'm sure, at his pro day and with his throwing session. Now, if he, of course, uncorks a few wild ones, that's going to be something that people who don't like him are going to point to and be concerned about. But he did show signs mechanically, on conversations I've had at the Senior Bowl. He just seemed more balanced. He had his feet underneath him better. They want to see him continue to carry that over. And the other thing with Allen is he's got medical stuff you got to dig into. He broke his collarbone on the throwing side in high school. He did not have surgery, just calcified, but then he re-broke it in his first start at Wyoming, shattered it in like 7 places, had a bunch of bolts and a plate put in there. And then last year, he had a AC joint sprain in the same shoulder. Missed a couple of games. It was sore for him. I'm told that he's pain-free now, but you look at that and you wonder if the quarterback's throwing shoulder, the medical on him, as well as Josh Rosen, who had at least 2 concussions last year, shoulder surgery in 2016. Those are 2 of the big medical ones that people are going to be breaking down over these next couple of weeks. It's the first time you really get put through an MRI and get poked and prodded is down at the combine. And then with regard to Lamar Jackson, you know, with him, he comes from an offense at Louisville that traditionally under Bobby Petrino has incorporated a lot of pro-style concepts, but when scouts watch the tape, they say a lot of it appears to be one read and go because he is such a fantastic runner, because he can do so many dynamic things with the football. He's also got plenty of arm. He's got a quick release. You'll see wow moments on tape, some of the throws that he makes, but the accuracy for Lamar Jackson has been inconsistent. And the word that's come out of the school is that, much like a lot of the quarterbacks coming out, you know, he's got a long way to go in terms of being ready, just understanding defenses, understanding offensive concepts, and Jackson might be a little bit further away than the others. I think that the debate on Lamar Jackson has been skewed a little bit because, and I'm certainly not discounting race as an influencer. I think that any of us who think the race is not an influence on just about everything are fooling ourselves. But I don't get the sense that it's, well, Lamar Jackson's black, so we got to move him to receiver. No, it's he's such an amazing football player. Forget position for a second. He's such an amazing football player that if he's going to sit for a year or two and not play quarterback, while he's learning that, you'd be silly not to find a way to have him up on the 46 on Sundays. You'd be silly not to figure out a way to get him onto the field in some capacity. I mean, he could be an amazing red zone mismatch weapon, you know, whatever position he ends up playing, a quarterback, or if you line him up a receiver, or, you know, whatever it might be. I think that that's really the big thing, is that he's intriguing as an all-around football player. It's just going to take him some time to actually be ready to play quarterback at the NFL level. He's a unique fit in terms of what, you know, the type of system that he could fit into. It's not like you're saying, well, he's going to go out there and have to run zone read all the time. No, and like a Kyle Shanahan type of system that's heavily based on outside zone running, bootlegs, play action, all the abilities he has, both as a runner and a passer, you can see it somewhere down the road. It's just, you know, different teams, different scouts have different opinions on how close exactly he is and, you know, exactly what his trajectory is, whether it's on a quarterback or whether it's in some sort of a multifaceted role.
Tom, last couple of years, we've had running backs go in the top 10, even in the top 5. Todd Gurley, he went top 10. Zeke Elliott, then Leonard Fournette, both go number 4 overall. Do you expect Saquon Barkley to continue that trend in the top 5? And do you think the Browns would consider him with one of their 2 top picks?
Standing here right now, I would say yes on Barkley in the top 5, just on knowing all the, you know, what people think of him. I remember making calls back in the fall, just, you know, doing a little poll on how he stacked up versus Zeke Elliott and Leonard Fournette. At minimum, Barkley was on their level, and there are some scouts who say that they would put Barkley on the top of that heap.
Wow.
So he's a really talented runner, certainly somebody who is deserving of being a top 5 selection. The question just becomes how many quarterbacks end up going in that top 5.
Sure.
And, you know, how far down does that push Saquon Barkley? I mean, you're going to have Chubb as one of the edge rushers that's probably going to go pretty high. Quentin Nelson, as much as hard as it believes that a guard is going to go top 10, maybe even higher than that, he might be the best player in the draft, depending who you ask. You know, a culture changer type of a guy. Barkley, you know, for the Browns, I think it makes some sense. It just depends on exactly what they do. I don't think they're going to take him number one overall. I would be stunned if the Browns did not take a quarterback with the number one pick, but they've got another swing at it at number four. You know, did the Giants take Barkley? I certainly think that's possible. Do the Colts even take Barkley and put him back there with Andrew Luck? I mean, both those teams could use it. You know, there's so many trades up at the top of the draft these days that it could go a lot of different directions. But I think it would make a lot of sense. I mean, you can't tell me that there would not be some excitement in Cleveland about the new regime, the new era of football, if you had whatever it is, Sam Darnold and Saquon Barkley. That's a pretty good place to start.
Yeah, no doubt. If the Browns end up with one of those quarterbacks and Barkley at four, that's, you know, at least on paper, a home run, Tom. We'll see if they can get it done. Tom, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.